Good evening, everybody. This is Brian Powers, and we are live here at NJRR North Studios. And we are here. Of course, I'm a little messed up because I'm not here with my partner, Diane Moxley. You notice I'm all by myself. But that's okay. Diane is going to be checking in soon. Hopefully, she may be having some technical issues. We didn't want to make you wait too long before we started off the show. So we are here to get ready. We're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, a topic we've talked about many times, cannabis, weed related issues. The marijuana mommy is going to be popping in, Jesse Gill. She's first time here on New Jersey Revolution Radio Live. And then, of course, we'll have an old friend, New Jersey Weed Man. And hopefully Nick Muscovich will be here, a guy that wrote an article in the Home News Tribune on the front page. And you notice that's me. Here's what I had to say when Nick was here and he was visiting in my studio during the week.
Able to walk around outside, thanks to my comrades, Michelle Burns, who's in a wheelchair in freezing weather, and Ed Grimes and Sativa Cross. We walked around that very same police station, smoking weed openly and yelling about it. And the police were turning their heads and walking away and obeying the law. So, you know, whatever anybody thinks about these protests, we taught people lessons. You want to argue that we shouldn't go about it this way? Well, if you figure out a more effective way to train an entire police department that quickly, you let me know and I'll apply those principles. But I've never seen results like that quickly. And I, you know, it's thanks to honestly having some moral righteousness in your cause and being able to, you know, being willing to stand up for it. So, you know, it's that simple.
So that was, in short, you know, direct action gets the goods. It's basically what I was saying. I mean, you know, we here at New Jersey Revolution Radio and our comrades around the state, we do a lot of things, you know, to support activist work where people put themselves, you know, out there and put themselves in jeopardy all the time. I was put in a position here of being in jeopardy, you know, not willingly, and it kind of was laid upon me. But, you know, I had a chance to make some points about a lot of issues that we care about, including, you know, police use of force, how we treat patients in regards to cannabis laws and all that kind of stuff. And I have been making the most of it. And I was really fortunate to be in the paper and talk about, oh, there's Nick. Okay, so he'll be here. And, you know, talk about this very, very important issue. So, you know, I want to kind of, I don't know, thank God or somebody or whatever. I talked to Heather today. Other people are saying, no, this is you. You did this. It's not, you know, it's not religious stuff. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, this, you know, this would be a good opportunity for me not only to call attention to cannabis laws, but to the larger social justice issues that I know a lot of people around the state are trying to pay attention to that I work with. So, you know, I'm just kind of grateful for the opportunity. Nebula USA at the coffee house. No, I'm not at the coffee house right now, Nebula. I'm sorry. We will be at the coffee house next week, which is really going to be an exciting week for New Jersey Revolution Radio. We'll be at the coffee house in Edison. Here we go. Yep, there you go. Okay, so Nick is texting me right now. Hi, Nick. Yep, we know you're coming. Nick Muscovich from the Home News Tribune. I believe from the Bridgewater News is also what he writes for. I tell you what, you know, I didn't know it was coming. You know, when he came over, he talked to me for quite a while. I knew he had done a good job of looking into what had happened, and you know, I saw the article online. And I knew, you know, I knew it about there, shared it on Facebook and whatever. Yeah, it's cool to be in the media. It's always nice. And then I just kind of went about my day. I mean, whatever. I have five kids. So, you know, I was busy and had work to do and all kinds of stuff. So it wasn't until about, I mean, like 8 or 8:30 at night, a buddy of mine calls me, a comrade calls me and goes, hey, you know, look at me. Are you okay? Like, what happened? And I go, I guess you saw the paper. It was in there. And he goes, yeah, man, you're on the front page. And I was like, wait, what? And I ran and I went over to the store in the corner. They had two more copies left. So I bought the last two copies. And I guess I'll keep one. I'll scrapbook it, you know, and all that. But it's cool that, you know, I got a chance, you know, to point out, you know, these problems in the system. And I want to thank everybody that supported me. And in the clip, You did hear me thank two particular people, which is Michelle Burns, you know, who rolled around in a wheelchair outside the Middlesex County Sheriff's Department you know, in protest with us. And then also, of course, Ed Grimes and all the supporters at Sativa Cross. So, you know, I want to thank everybody as we get into our around the state look. I want to thank everybody that supported me so far. So we'll just get a break from the cannabis talk real quick to look around the state and talk about some stuff coming up. I'm hoping that my partner, Diane, will check in. She's in Essex County tonight. And I know there's been a lot of work going on in Essex County. One of the things that we've been working on, and you may notice if you tune into New Jersey Revolution Radio Live regularly, is Poetry 360 Poetry Night with Justice up in Newark. And they're going to do something special in March, on March 21st at the Newark Public Library between 2 and 5 p.m. They're going to put on a special show. It's a little different. We've been going to La Rouge Lounge, but they're going to switch gears on us a little bit and do something geared towards wellness. And I'm not really sure yet what's going on, but I did want to bring it up because I want to make sure that everybody out there gets a chance to mark their calendar for March 21st. In Newark, a very special 360 poetry with New Jersey Revolution Radio sponsoring, of course. And there are sponsorship opportunities available. So there's some tables out there and some organizing work to be done. So you can get in touch by contacting us or contacting 360 Poetry Night, you know, through Facebook pages or through email and the websites and all that. So, you know, come on in and, you know, we look forward to seeing you there. I'm waiting for my partner. If you notice me rambling on a little bit about some stuff that's for later, it's because my partner is a little bit late here. So I will wait just a minute and I'll try to cover some stuff that's going on the website real quick. As we look around the state here at New Jersey Revolution Radio, there are some events. So we'll start talking about the events coming up pretty soon. And in line with the show tonight, and something that maybe we will talk about with Jessie when she pops in, is the Women, Weed, and Wellness for North Jersey. And just before I got into the studio, I got a message from somebody, and a little birdie is starting to talk to me about other places in the state of New Jersey and maybe on the periphery and the edges of New Jersey, where we're going to do more women, weed, and wellness events. The last one is up on our website and on our Facebook page. And this was a really, you know, I got nothing but positive feedback from it. I myself really enjoyed it. I stayed quiet and, you know, did not participate in the event, obviously, because we wanted to give women a safe space. And there were very few men there, but I think the women really appreciated an environment where they could talk openly and look at some CBD products, get a neck massage. I know that we've already got a masseuse for the North Jersey one, so that's cool. And I see Nick. Hey, Nick, can you hear me there in studio? All right. So our audio is working. So Nick is in studio. One of my guests have shown up. So I appreciate it. Nick can hang out and get himself situated for our main panel coming up in a little bit here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. But we're going around the state talking about some events. And again, the Women, Weed, and Wellness, this is another event that's looking for sponsors. And you don't have to necessarily be a cannabis company or a cannabis-based organization to get involved. Although we did have great CBD vendors there from a number of different CBD companies, including wine, including chocolates, and including just the raw CBD products that you can get, tinctures and stuff like that. So, you know, don't have to be into the cannabis business, though. We had a masseuse there. We had people there talking about wellness and other health products. So please, you know, come on out. And if you'd like to become a sponsor, you can always email us info@njrevolutionradio.com. And then we will get to you on that. Another event coming up is the UNAC conference, UNAC, UNAC National Conference. That's going to be at the People's Forum. That's happening at 320 West 37th Street in New York. Our comrade, it looks like our comrade, of course, Margaret Kimberly and Diane will be there. Diane has really been the driving force behind this. And we are looking for more people to join people at the UNAC conference. Nebula USA, what's your opinion on Phil Murphy banning all the flavored vape products? As someone who's been openly pro THC, how do you know? How do you feel this is an attack on the civil liberty of New Jersey adults? So, you know, this is an interesting question. And I know actually our show sponsor right now, it'd be very hypocritical of me to come out really hard when we have a show sponsor, Noble Smoke Shop tonight that sells some of these vaping products. I haven't read too much into this, and I'll tell you, maybe it's my own kind of personal bourgeois qualities that it's not something that affects me because I don't use nicotine products. And I will be honest with you and tell you, I don't like advocating for nicotine products too much. And so can I chicken out on this? I sound like I'm chickening out. I'll be honest with you, Nebula. So it's a tough question for me to say. I do understand that, you know, there are negative effects to smoking, and then maybe even getting off smoking if you're using some of these products may help you kind of make a bad habit a little less bad. And I've seen other things, you know, as an addict myself and having dealt in replacement therapy, it's called, you know, just kind of, you know, substituting maybe one substance for another. It's an effective way to get yourself clean. I think nicotine addiction is something you really should focus on, you know, curbing completely. I will tell you that, you know, I don't judge people for smoking or whatever, but I get a little bit preachy because of my own personal experience with nicotine. I guess I've quit for maybe about 8 or 10 years, somewhere around that neighborhood, where I used to smoke about a pack a day in Newports. And, you know, it was the physical addiction was hurting me. My lungs were bothering me a lot. But what really got me to quit and what really got me to stop smoking cigarettes was the psychological effects. I was depressed about it. I smelled bad all the time. My wife didn't want to kiss me when I came home. I had to take a shower. My clothes stunk. I felt rejected. I felt like, you know, I was kind of like not fitting in. And I honestly was like, it brought on elements of depression in me. And I don't know how much of that was chemical addiction to, the nicotine and how much of it was psychological, and also, you know, the addict cycle of shame and guilt and stuff like that plays into it. So nicotine addiction, just like any other addiction, it has the same patterns, and, you know, chemical dependency on it is something that needs to be addressed. I think, you know, more on a personal level than on a policy level. And there's also the element that I got 5 kids, and, you know, the truth is, you know, I really don't want them messing around with nicotine. I really don't. I wouldn't, you know, my older children, you know, I have a 20-year-old son and I have some children growing up. Would I be, you know, really pissed if my grown up children made the adult choice of smoking some cannabis or having a drink for that matter? No, I don't care. But I would really be upset if I found out they were smoking cigarettes. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Like I said, this is just kind of speaking from personal experience, you know. So we are getting there. Here's Diane. Diana's messaging me now that she's on her way into the studio to check in from Essex County. Before we get to our main panel, I wanted to check in from my partner. I do apologize. I did, if you notice, the regular show order got a little out of whack. And if I'm stammering a little bit, I hope I'm covering well. Nick, am I covering well? Can you tell that I'm stammering through this? You can nod at me from outside the studio. Okay. Okay, good, good. Thanks. Even if he's lying, I don't care. I needed the reassurance and Nick just gave it to me. I appreciate it. So we'll sell a little bit more of New Jersey Revolution Radio while I've got you here. Oh, I see Diane popping in. And nope, that's Jesse. Jesse's here in studio. So now our panel is forming up. So once we get to our panel, I know we're going to have everybody here. But I will thank, we'll do our sponsors table work a little early today. I want to thank Noble's Smoke Shop that sponsored. This is their final week of sponsorship on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Noble Smoke Shop in Point Pleasant Beach, New Jersey, 604 Arnold Avenue, has a wide selection of cigars. They have glass pipes. I got an awesome double-barreled bong. Oh, let me show insisted. Go get the big red water pipe out of my area there. You can't miss it. It's the big one. Yeah, man, dude. It's I don't know how you miss a giant 3-foot bong, but you know, I will show it off. But Noble Smoke Shop, the place is cool, man. It looks like a bodega. You walk in and kind of you can get your lottery tickets. You can get a good cup of coffee. You can get your snacks and stuff like that. But if you take a look around the place, they've got some really beautiful glassware. They've got some really beautiful displays set up of water pipes. They've got a huge selection of rolling papers and like you name it. So it's a head shop. It's a cigar shop. It's a bodega. It's all kinds of stuff. It's right by the train station on the Point Pleasant Beach train station. So if you're a commuter and you pop off on your way in and out of Point Pleasant Beach, stop by Noble Smoke Shop. Tell them New Jersey Revolution Radio sent you. All right. Make sure that when we run our sponsor list that you go, you patronize them, and that you let them know you heard about us on New Jersey Revolution Radio. All right. So thank you very much. I am going to start to introduce the panel a little bit early. If I don't see my partner here in a minute, and I don't see her yet, I know she's trying to get in. I see some messages coming on that she's trying to get in. Let's see here what the latest is. All right. So she's not going to make it. So what I'm going to do is Jesse is here and Jesse is ready for me. Jesse, are you ready? Can you nod your head? And I can't hear you. Okay. She's good. So we'll start introducing our panel now. And we're going to start off by bringing in our first, and somebody new to New Jersey Revolution Radio. So I'm really excited, to introduce Marijuana Mommy, Jesse Gill. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Brian, how are you?
It's really nice. We spoke on the phone right after my arrest. I think you were writing an article or something, right?
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, the story didn't work into the article, but yeah, I was very, you know, touched by what happened to you, and it's heartbreaking. You know, you're not the only one. It's very sad.
But
thank you for having me on today.
No problem. And I remember it was a really great conversation. We did chat for a bit, and now we get to introduce you to my audience. So thanks for coming on. So tell me about the Marijuana Mommy. Let's hear about your work and what you've been doing with the cannabis community for a while.
Yeah. So Marijuana Mommy is my website. It's marijuanamommy.com. And that's my platform where I teach patients how and why to use cannabis. And I'm a cannabis nurse, so I'm a registered nurse that has a special focus on medical marijuana. And I wasn't always, you know, such a huge advocate. I came to cannabis very reluctantly. I was injured. I'm a former hospice nurse, and I was injured at work in 2014, suffered a spinal injury. And, you know, I started that traditional healthcare system dance that so many people do. You know, and as a nurse, I really believed that I was going to get better. I believed that, you know, it was just a matter of time before I found that one doctor or that specific medicine or that surgery that's going to fix me. And I ended up having a multi-level spinal fusion in my cervical region, and that actually left me worse. And I suffered a lot of nerve damage in my throat and in my mouth and back of my head. And I lost the ability to drive, and the doctors were like, sorry, that's it. There's nothing else we could do. And, you know, it was depressing. It was devastating. You know, I'd lost my career. I'd lost everything. And I was taking so many medications, I was opiates and Valium around the clock to control muscle spasms and pain. And then so many other medications. And, you know, it was about almost a year like that. And a friend was like, you should try cannabis. And I was like, that's ridiculous. And, you know, I've tried marijuana. Like if morphine can't help me, then cannabis isn't going to help me. That's silly. And my mom was like, you know, why wouldn't you look into this? My mom's also a nurse. And she's like, you've tried everything. You know, you've tried everything else out there. And I was, you know, I tried every complementary treatment. I was a holistic nurse. I went for acupuncture. I went for, you know, everything, tried every supplement. And, you know, and it was the stigma. The stigma was a huge part, you know, and I was like, well, I'll look into it. And I started researching, and I was shocked because I found that there was actually valid research out there that, you know, supported the benefits, and especially for muscle spasms and pain. You know, we have a pharmaceutical, we don't have it in the United States, but there's a pharmaceutical called Sativex, which is a 1-to-1 THC CBD plant derived product. And, you know, we have a lot of research about that. So I ended up trying it, and it changed my life. You know, that very same day that I tried it, I was able to stop both the opiates and the Valium and, you know, just switch over just to cannabis and then later come off of all the other medications. So, you know, I always tell people I'm not better. I still have a lot of limitations and I still have pain, but, you know, finally I have this medication that can help me manage the pain. And, you know, the pharmaceuticals just kind of numbed it and numbed the experience of it. Whereas cannabis helps me like engage more with life. And best of all, it doesn't have all of those horrific negative side effects because those were just devastating and life altering. So it's been a crazy experience. I was already a writer and, you know, started marijuanamommy.com. And, you know, I knew if I was so resistant, then there were other people out there and, you know, started studying it, started researching the plant. And, you know, it's just been an amazing journey.
Is this your job now? Have you transitioned into a full-time cannabis advocate and nurse and specialist, or do you still have to work? I don't want to say a day job or anything, because clearly you spend a lot of time working on this, but have you transitioned from patient into full-time cannabis marijuana mommy? That's you now, huh?
Yes. So I transitioned from disability back into full-time as my own business because I was a hospice nurse and working full-time, but after my injury, I was never able to go back to my career. So I really needed to find something that I could do from home. And that's when I started writing and blogging. And I was fortunate because I'd always had, it was always a skill of mine and a passion writing. So it's just what I fell back on. And, you know, I started getting published in places like Good Housekeeping and Cosmopolitan. And then that's when cannabis came into my life. So then I discovered cannabis. So I was already writing and I'd already developed this platform and just it transitioned over to cannabis. So now I am full time. I do a few different things. I have, you know, Marijuana Mommy, which we monetize in a few different ways. And then I have a online pipe shop called prettypipeshop.com that, you know, is a good income producer. And then I do a lot of consulting with patients, mostly high acuity patients. So patients that are on a lot of, you know, that are on polypharmacy, that are on, you know, a lot of medications because there can be many medication interactions. So depending on what types of pharmaceuticals, some patients, and especially our older population, need a lot of guidance with that and a lot of assistance. I do a lot of consulting and then, you know, I teach various classes and workshops and I have an online course, my new online course for beginner patients.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to ask you a question when we come back to you in just a minute. Well, so we're going to start up the panel. I'm just going to introduce Nick Muscovich real quick. Nick, how are you, man? I think Nick is muted right now. I can't hear you. Let me see here. I don't have you muted. I think you're muted on your end, brother.
Hello, Nick.
Can't hear Nick. And once again, I have to fill the air with noise that I wasn't prepared to fill with. I can't hear you. No, I see you talking. And we all see Nick. Let's see. All right. So Nick, while Nick tries to figure out why his mic is, and sometimes it pays dividends to log out and log back in. I don't know, sometimes, or check your audio settings. There's a little button on the bottom that says, is the little gear wheel that you can check to see if your audio settings are properly. And I'll talk while Nick does that. He's going to do something while Nick does that very quickly. I'll show you the article. All right. So the headline reads, I have a card, man. And if people have talked to me, they know that I do speak a bit like a hippie sometimes. And so that when I saw it and I see my picture there and I said, oh, God, they really got me on this one. They really necked it. And then the under headline, communist card carrying medical marijuana user arrested after lighting up. And for many of you have heard the term card carrying communist. Nick did a great job of playing that up a little bit. I noticed it. Nick, let's hear. I hear something over there, Nick.
Yes. I did a mic test. It looks like it might be working now.
You are working. Welcome to New Jersey Revolution Radio Live, man. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm just trying to adjust the audio because I don't know if you can hear that cackling.
There's a little crackling, but you're all right, man. We can make you out.
Okay, just might be picking up the audio from you. Yeah, I'm doing well. It looks like there's a little glitch at the beginning. It said my mic was working, but you weren't picking it up. So I logged out, logged back in. I'm here, and hopefully you guys can hear me.
I want everybody to know that just in case I'm ever on life support and machines are keeping me alive and all the tubes are in me or something, I want you to unplug me and then plug it back in and see if that brings me out of it. All right. The first step, I've been troubleshooting routers my whole life, and that's always the first step. So Nick, glad you figured out the tech, man. So before we get into the story, man, tell us about yourself. You're a writer, not just for the Home News Tribune, but for the Bridgewater News as well.
Yeah, for the Courier News. Yeah, we're pretty much, I work for two newspapers that are owned by Gannett, the Home News Tribune and the Courier News. Courier News covers more Somerset and Hunterdon. Home News Tribune covers New Brunswick and Middlesex County. That's how I came across your story and parts of Union. I think when I left, you were showing off the front page. I think it's reversed right here.
Yeah. No, you're good, man. Look at that. Our live stream doesn't do the mirror image. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. So, yeah. So that was we got you on the front page there. That was pretty cool. I know we came in a little couple weeks, you know, maybe even a couple months after the whole incident happened. But, you know, given the facts of your case, it's still a pretty prescient matter. And I think an important one to report on, you know, something that shouldn't be ignored. Yeah. Somebody, obviously, you know, we're probably going to talk about it more later, but from the looks of things, you know, most of your charges were dropped. So
yeah,
it's hard anybody can argue, you know, they were in the right by doing that.
It's in the larger argument that it's not just about me, and the reason why I've, you know, made a PR kind of spectacle out of some of this is because it does happen to other people. And have you seen reports or upticks? I mean, what have you noticed from a reporter's, from a guy that kind of keeps an eye on these things? Have you noticed that it's either getting reported more and noticed more, or what do you think's going on as far as
I haven't really heard anything about that happening too much. Obviously, you know more. I talked to Michelle when I wrote the article, and it seems like her and Lefty really have like a finger on the pulse of that whole situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe that is something to look into for like a larger trend story. But it seems like, you know, it looks like a lot of these municipalities and police departments don't really know how CUMA law works and how to treat people with medical marijuana cards, which is, you know, obviously an issue, not just obviously for the person, you know, but also for the town. The expenses you're paying to, you know, arrest somebody, hold them in jail, prosecute them, all this stuff for something that's baseless to begin with, you know?
Yeah. Jesse, I mean, you've had a lot of contact. You have a lot of contact with patients and stuff. I mean, have you heard stories of dealing with law enforcement? Now, I will admit, and I even say in the article that, you know, I've been not even confronted by law enforcement, but I smoke out of a glass pipe. I kind of like the it's how I smoke. I enjoy a glass pipe. All right. I'll smoke whatever you hand to me, but I prefer a glass pipe when I'm out in public. I don't really like smoking joints. They make my hands smell. That's why. I've been walking around in New Brunswick where I first got locked up, smoking right in front of police officers. I've gotten some funny looks, like I said in the article. And even once, I think it was in Newark, that a cop like looked dead at me and was like, you know, gave me that, what the hell are you doing look? And I look back at him, I go, I got a card, officer. And he kind of went, oh, and walked away. And that was it. And so I've had some, interactions with law enforcement that have been nothing. And then this happened. Jesse, have you been hearing stories from patients about interactions with law enforcement, and how's that usually go?
Yes. So it has gotten better as time goes on. It depends a lot on the individual. A lot of times, when people, you know, are able to stay calm and explain, and the, you know, officers just, you know, doesn't have any preconceived notions about the person, then, you know, they know. The problem is it's an affirmative defense, right? Is that the proper term I'm using? I think that's it. Affirmative defense. So they can arrest you, but you have to go defend yourself, and they have the right to arrest you if they deem it. And another challenge is the police officers have not been educated. So there's been one memo, and the article that I interviewed you for was my article with New Jersey Cannabis Insider. Mm-hmm. And that was I don't know if you were able I don't know if you have access to it, but you know, I reached out to the Attorney General's office, and I did years ago as well, and asked about that. Like, there's been one memo that's been given to the police officers by the Attorney General that, you know, explained a little bit about Kuma law. And there are problems with it because that memo, it's no longer accurate. Like, it gives these ridiculous instructions to police officers. Like, it tells officers that patients can only be registered with one dispensary, and that officers should check packaging and make sure they don't have packaging from more than one dispensary, which is ridiculous. We can go to as many dispensaries as we want in a day. Like, they just change it right there. And unfortunately, like, those details haven't been explained to police officers. And a lot of the officers, they want to know more, but there are no resources. And when I contacted the Attorney General's offices and I was like, what's going on? Why haven't they been educated? They were like, well, we're going to be releasing something about that soon. And that was it. So, and that was months ago. That was a different article, but yeah, that was.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you if this is the one, this is the one in NJ.com that you write. I couldn't put your eye right. I couldn't want it, but yeah, I got to give you.
Yeah. It's a subscription publication, the other one. That article was from and was republished by Star Ledger and NJ.com.
You got some great press out of it. Great press out of it.
Yeah. So did you. Nice work, guys. And nice job, Nick.
It's
great coverage.
For the cause, right? We do appreciate it. So the steps I've looked at in particular, you know, I guess around my arrest is some of the things is educating the police officers and stuff like that. But on beyond that, I think everybody understands that when you're listening to Brian on New Jersey Revolution Radio, he's going to go a little bit farther than just police training. You know, I honestly, at this point, don't know why we have county sheriffs. We are literally paying an armed force to take away houses and beat up homeless people. I don't really think that's a good use of my tax money. But Nick, could you maybe tell me about the good work the county sheriffs do other than arresting cannabis patients and throwing poor families out of homes?
Yeah, in Somerset County, they watch the jail. I'm not sure about
that.
Middlesex County. I actually was tipped off about your case from a Middlesex County Sheriff officer.
I didn't know you were going to say that out loud. You had mentioned that to me, so I had kept that under wraps. But that's
I can say good that. I'm not going to give anybody's names, but I mean, obviously, I get a lot of tips from sheriff's departments in all the counties I cover, and I don't really know, you know, why they're such a political bunch. But they are. They give me a lot of information, and obviously, that whole incident with you, that was the Middlesex County Sheriff's Department. That wasn't New Brunswick Police Department. So
no.
Obviously, it got people talking around there.
Yeah, I'm glad. Now they are a political group, and I had actually had an experience with Middlesex County Sheriff's Department. The guy that was running for Middlesex County, the Republican, I don't want to say his name, rather not, to be honest with you, because he's a Nazi essentially, and his backing looked to be a narrative from a group that we talk about with our comrades over at Antifa organization, One People's Project. Does a lot of work countering the Oath Keepers and their kind of work. If you know what the Oath Keepers are, they claim to be embedded in police departments. They're a right-wing militant fascist organization. They do a lot of hate work against immigrants. Members or affiliated members have been arrested for kidnapping immigrants at the border. And they claim to be embedded in the police departments a lot. And what we generally think is they're a bunch of shitheads who try to rally, you know, police up with this right-wing rhetoric. But this dude was running for a sheriff, and it concerned me because he had a rally actually pretty close to my house with an anti-immigrant theme. Do you think that, you know, is it a guy like that, you know, clearly would try to be getting police actually on his side, and that's a known recruiting method? Have you heard of right-wing activity within police departments of that nature? I mean, are they working, or is it more just kind of bad culture?
You know, I haven't really heard of much, but obviously you have your factions, you know, wherever you go. There was this great article in Mother Jones by this guy named Shane Bauer. I think that's his name. Mm. And it was actually about a group you're talking about. It was like a militia group, and they kind of claimed he went embedded with them and went undercover and didn't tell them he was a reporter and went like embedded with them at the border of the United States and Mexico. And they were doing all kinds of awful stuff, like, like they would find water jugs left by coyotes to help immigrants pass the desert, and they would slash them open. So then when they found them, they would have no water. So people would, like, you know, get dehydrated and possibly die out there in the desert. But he was reporting the same thing. These people claim to have ties to different police organizations and military branches. But I think, he summed it up. He couldn't really prove any of it. So a lot of these guys were just, you know, blowing hot air and kind of talking up their background. In the case you're talking about, that guy running for county sheriff, you know, there are, you know, as any political branch, there's going to be lefts and rights there, you know, and it seems like our current state of politics right now, everybody's kind of polarized in the extremes right now, for lack of a better word. So I mean, maybe that's why you're seeing it more often these days. But, you know, that's Middlesex County, right? Obviously.
Yeah, I was shocked. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, man. I've lived in Woodbridge, which, you know, is a right wing Democrat town. I know what's up, but I've always said that, you know, they pick up the trash on time. So what the hell do I care? I was really disturbed seeing that dude have a rally in my town. I was really bothered by it. And I called people about it, called township officials. And while I think we sit here and talk about our cannabis issue is moving forward in something that's positive, the general tone of our politics under Trump, of course, has been just atrociously horrible. And, you know, that I think when you look at Trump, I'm one of those guys that tells you Trump's the symptom of a disease. You know, and so the racism and this kind of hyper masculinity, and I saw it in the dude that arrested me. And he was clearly arresting me because he was born with a very small penis. And that's the only reason I got arrested that day. This guy was angry about something that had nothing to do with me, because I'm just a dude on a bowl on the street smoking a bowl. How does that bother you? You know, unless you have internal anger issues. And I think that when you have a culture of a police department that's already hyper-masculine and militarized and all that, it's dangerous. It's really, really dangerous. Yeah. People get killed by police. And they get killed because police don't know how to handle a good situation, you know, with respect to the people they're handling with. That was my case. You know, that was my case.
Yeah. In that same, you know, I might just want to add, you know, it's important to remember.
I think you do that with everything.
Yeah. Jesse, I mean,
I think we see that with everything, though. Like anybody in a, I think either I have a delay or you guys have a delay.
Go ahead, Jesse. You got the chair. Go ahead.
Sorry. I think, you know, with everything, you're going to see people in power that we have people that abuse their power. I mean, you see it with teachers, you see it with cashiers, you see it with everything. We're going to, you know, we are sadly, it's really, really sad, you know, fact that we see kind of woven into everything. We see it in healthcare, see a lot of bullying, you know. It's not, and I understand with police officers, you know, it comes to like life or death, and healthcare too. You know, that doesn't get a lot of attention, but there's a lot of systemic, you know, power issues.
Yeah. Where do you see, I mean, where do you start addressing when, I guess, you know, bringing back home to this issue and cannabis, when we talk about changing culture and the authoritarian nature of police forces, like where do you start? At least I know we can't abolish the police tomorrow, like I would like to, but what can we do realistically?
I wouldn't. No, I like the police.
I'm not. Well, I guess we could go off. But let's.
I think you. We always
ground thing that needs to change. What do you change tomorrow? What are the things, steps that we think police should be taking, at least short of quitting their jobs, which is what I think they should do, by the way.
They should all have to take yoga. Everybody should have to meditate. You know, I mean, it is a culture thing. And, you know, we have to keep in mind also that a lot of our officers that we have received their training decades and decades and decades ago. And the culture was even worse, you know, and the things that they were systematically, you know, that was ingrained into them was even worse. And, you know, it's a gradual awakening. I think, you know, we need discussion. I think education is really, really important. And, you know, we need to get people in power who are more enlightened, you know, in even within our the ranks of the police department. And, you know, and I think it's going to happen. It's gradual. You start seeing it happening. You know, we need you know, states and localities to take, you know, action when people abuse power, you know, and that's really the only way that we're going to start seeing training. And we need training. You know, in New Jersey, our police officers that are coming through police academy aren't even taught about Kuma law. It's not even included. Right. So things like that, we need to be teaching our officers.
You know, from captain.
What was that?
I don't think they don't get tested on the Kuma law until like the captain's exam. You could be there for 10, 20 years and never even have to learn Kuma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never. Most officers have never even seen it or heard of it. And even if they had, it's inaccurate now. So
it is. It's a terrible law. That's a good
point. I mean, not the law, the thing for the officers.
Right, right, right. And like even
there's a specific directive that police officers have to.
Yeah, I think we do have a little bit of a time delay, and I apologize for that. The Kuma law itself is outdated. I mean, it doesn't address wax, it doesn't address concentrates and carrying things. So there's a million holes in the current law, but we are going to be voting on a new law. And I have gone back and forth like a lunatic on this because I want weed to be legal. I want to be able to grow weed in my backyard, and I want everybody to be able to do it because, you know, I just, it doesn't make any sense to me. I can grow tomatoes and I should be able to grow some weed. But we're going to vote on a law next year that I've heard a lot of good and bad things. I think, you know, I'm more on the yes side, but I've also heard a lot of pot smokers, particularly pot smokers in the social justice community that work in mass incarceration, that don't like what happened. I do agree. It got rammed through quickly. I do not think there was enough consideration given to the impact it would have on our communities that have been affected so greatly negatively by our current drug policies. And I think it's very true. And I agree with New Jersey Weed Man that these are white corporate owned people coming in and taking over what could be and what should be a great economic stimulus for our blighted communities. And I just came back from Maine. And Maine has a flourishing medical program. It's grown in Maine. There's home businesses. There's local farmers. There's selection. I got some GMO garlic cookies out the ground for $30 an eighth. That was fantastic.
Wow.
Here I'm paying $60 an eighth. And I'll admit it's most of the time okay from the dispensary near me. And I won't say the name of them. But I'll say this. You know, I've seen dispensary weed that is absolute crap in this state. You know, up there, they've got selection, and it's all about allowing the market to grow locally and with some interstate commerce. And hopefully we get it legalized federally eventually. You know, I think that's developing. But what we're doing here in New Jersey, because Phil Murphy comes from Goldman Sachs, and okay, he's progressive, and I'll like Phil Murphy when he does good things. But I'm sorry, his mindset is corporate. It's racist, and he needs to pay more attention to these things when he does this stuff. He rammed this through too quickly, and we're not paying attention to the social justice side. That being said, in November, Nick Muscovich, you're going to go in and pull a lever, and you're probably going to vote yes, I hope. I think I'm going to vote yes, too. But what do you think of this upcoming ballot measure, and what's going to be the net effect of legalization in New Jersey? Is it going to happen, and what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I think the ballot measure is probably better than what was going on in the legislature. It seemed like there was a lot of backlash going on there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of delays and disagreement.
Well, it's all right. You don't expect to do anything, man.
Yeah, that's the truth. Everybody kind of wants their own peace. And, you know, the same thing was going on both sides. And I've heard the same thing from the Black Caucus, the African-American lawmakers saying that, you know, they're not taking into account past criminal records enough. There should be options to expunge. And I'm not sure. I don't think it does. Does the ballot question include expungement for people with past marijuana convictions, or is that just something that's going to be built on? No. Okay. So then, yeah, that's kind of an issue then. But I mean, at the same time, you know, it's almost like a Faustian bargain. Would you rather people to still get arrested and, you know, charged and go to court and possible jail time for marijuana convictions in the future? Or would you rather, you know, try to nip this thing in the bud while you got it and, you know, pass this and then work out the kinks later on?
Yeah. Yeah. That's more the position I'm leaning to. Jesse, you're a yes vote, I imagine, right? You're going to be voting yes in November for the legalization of cannabis.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean,
do yep, you absolutely. Think, I mean, baby see? Steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think baby steps, you know, it's the legislator. It wasn't just Murphy. The reason, like, he's not the only reason that we haven't had, you know, that the bill pass. It's everybody. So, and you're right. It is, you know, totally dominated by powerful corporations. It's out of state corporations that are coming in. It's millions of dollars to apply for a dispensary and a license in New Jersey. It's bonkers. I mean, it's completely cost prohibitive, but so is the program itself, you know, and I think we need something. You know, I'm all for whatever gets more medication to our patients. Like you mentioned, we have some dispensaries that are producing good product, but we also have a supply issue. Like consistent access, and that's a huge issue for patients. So for that, like, I am all for whatever you need to do to get this passed and to get it rolling so that we can start working and, you know, decreasing the stigma that we still have here in New Jersey and on the East Coast, so we can start working on that. And then we chip away at it, you know, chip by chip, and until we get what we want.
I think the key for me and why I'm mostly going to vote yes, even though I acknowledge these really large gaps in the system, is that there's going to be, I guess, a 5-person commission that's formed. Is it 5 people? Jesse nodded your head yes there. Yeah. And so the pressure will be.
I think so.
Yeah. The pressure will be on people like me to terrify those 5 people into doing things that aren't really screwed up. And that's going to be tough. But I can see this. My fear is seeing 5 old white men making poor decisions, you know, and because that seems to be how the majority of our country is run nowadays. We're running out of a little bit of time. So as the theme music creeps up on us, I want to make sure that we all talk and plug. And if we have events or things that we're doing for money or good of mankind, let us know. Nick Muscovich, Muscavige or Muscovich?
Muscavige, bro.
Muscavige. It's North Jersey. We all think we're, I'm Polish, by the way, but we all think we're Italian in North Jersey.
Yeah. No, Lithuanian. My last name is Lithuanian, so it's not Lithuanian.
I'm Polish, but everybody from where I come from thinks we're Italian. We all talk that way. It doesn't matter. But so, Nick Muscavige, what's going on with you? Where can we find you? What should we be reading in the near future?
Yeah, I don't know if I told you about this. I think I think Ed Fortune, NJ Weedman, was supposed to be on here tonight.
Yeah,
maybe something happened. But
he had comedy night, and he was a big maybe. But that's okay.
Yeah,
he's here.
That's all right. He's been on before. It's not like he's no stranger. But I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I was in a documentary about. We did talk about it because yes. You were working on that case too, actually.
Yeah,
when your radio station started. Mm-hmm. But he was locked up underneath the Bail Reform Act for a couple different charges and was actually found innocent after spending 447 days in jail, mm-hmm. Waiting trial. And I wrote this long form article that was on this website called Shadowproof. I freelanced it. But anyway, this filmmaker read it and was inspired and kind of, you know, pieced it together from that article and a few other news clips about NJ Weedman, made a documentary, and that documentary is now on High Times television, so High Times yep. magazine. I'm in a documentary with NJ Weedman about bail reform and marijuana and New Jersey, and anybody who's interested in that can, you know, find it on High Times website or just googling NJ Weedman and High Times TV.
All right. Thanks a lot. Human wants drug testing for all government workers, including politicians. I just want to see what kind of drugs they're doing. If they have anything good that's new that I haven't heard about. No drug testing. Get the hell out of here. Jesse, what's the marijuana mommy going to be up to in the near future?
Let's see. I have my course at cannabiseducationgroup.com, and it's a beginner's guide to cannabis medicine. Your audience probably does not need it, but it's all of the basic. But if they know someone who's starting to become interested in becoming a patient and wants some direct guidance from a healthcare professional, it comes with a month of educational email support from a cannabis nurse. So it's a really good way for patients to start dipping their toes in and exploring the program. Otherwise, visit me at marijuanamommy.com. I've got tons of information, interviews, and how-tos on my site.
I know me and you are going to talk more because there's like 5 million questions I didn't ask you, and potheads will talk forever about pot. So thanks for coming on tonight, taking a little bit of time. Nick, thanks for your coverage. You did great work on that story. We're always nervous when we deal with the media and you're a communist, but you were honest and you were truthful, and you did a great job, I think, for the cause. You know, and we're going to continue on. If you're at home, visit our sponsors again, Noble Smoke Shop in Point Pleasant Beach. Next week, Wednesday night, come by about 7 o'clock to the Coffee House in Edison, New Jersey on Amboy Avenue. We start talking to the audience a little bit, and you actually kind of help me organize the show. So I'll throw some ideas out there. And that's why I love these Coffee House shows. We do them once a month. They've got a fantastic cup of coffee. I usually bring my own butter to put into it. And there is an area that's 50 feet away from the door. So if you can legally consume things, you know, feel free. Just follow the law and obey the law while you're there. Until then, I want to thank once again the Marijuana Mommy, Jesse Gill, and Nick Miscavige from the Home News Tribune. Until then, this is my partner, of course, Diane Moxley, would tell you that she's going to see you in the streets. That's where she is right now. And I just want to remind you that the police can quit their jobs. Have a great night, everybody.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, guys. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Brian.